How should we gauge success in ministry? From an institutional and from an individual standpoint. That might be a different question than how do we gauge success? The second question could be answered, well, from an institutional standpoint, if we're ministering, we have large congregations. If we're ministering, we have large congregations and large revenues. If we have a large congregation and large revenues, we have a large following on YouTube. And our Facebook page or Twitter account or whatever it is that we have just has X amount of followers. We receive national recognition. People are calling us up to guest appear on talk shows and news commentaries and all that kind of stuff. That's success. From an individual standpoint, we are successful if we go out and we win people to Christ. Wait a minute. We have people making a profession of faith in Christ. We would be successful if we actually did win them, but they're making professions. And if they don't make a profession, we're unsuccessful in ministry. Or we invite them to come to church and they come to church once or twice and then leave. All kinds of standards. But I suggest to you that while some of those things may in and of themselves be fine, they don't necessarily define success. Tonight we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel has seen God in chapter 1. He's been commissioned in chapter 2. And now he's being sent in chapter 3. The question is, what will define whether Ezekiel is successful as a minister of God? Let's look and see what we got. I have a number of qualifications that I think define success from Ezekiel chapter 3. The first one is this. Success can only be accomplished if God's word is the fiber of the witness's being. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. I really don't think that he literally ate a piece of parchment or vellum or whatever it was that this roll is there. I think it is to be understood symbolically of ingesting the word of God. Here is the word. Take it into thy being. Make it part of thy fiber. Part of who you really are. Assimilate it. Not just a knowledge that you can spit back and answer questions, but something that comes in and it enters the belly and fills the bowels. It's digested. It's broken down. It's assimilated into the body as you would with food and becomes part of your being. A person who declares one thing and lives another is a person that we call a hypocrite. I think that's the opposite of this person. Here's a person who will speak that which is truth, but will also live it. It is this lifestyle. And sometimes people won't hear what we have to say. And in their immediate reaction to what we're saying, especially about the Word of God, they might reject it. But if they see it being lived out in us, over the course of time, they're going to say, well, you know, that wasn't just somebody telling me what they think is right. That's somebody who's actually living this thing. It must be right, at least for them, and cause them to think, well, maybe it's right for me as well. I think success can only be accomplished if God's word is actually the part of our being, that we're not hypocrites in our ministry. The second thing, success can only be accomplished when God's direction has been discerned. Verse 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Isn't that an encouraging word? Ezekiel, I'm going to send you to a bunch of people, and they're not going to pay any attention to you. Well, how successful is that? Well, it's exactly where I'm sending you. One of the commentaries that I read had an interesting statement. Listen to what the commentator said. The basis of difficult languages would have added materially to Ezekiel's difficulties, but such a handicap in communicating thought would have been negligible in comparison with the moral and spiritual opposition which would effectively hinder the perception of spiritual truth. Strange languages are more easily mastered than the spiritual hindrance of unbelieving hearts. It's easier to speak to a person in an unknown language, you can figure that out over the period of time, than it is to speak to a person who knows your language but doesn't want to hear what you have to say. And Ezekiel sent to a bunch of people that aren't going to pay any attention to him. Well, why is that successful? Because that's where God wanted him to go. Sometimes we look in ministry, okay, where can I be most successful? That's where I'll go. And certainly there's nothing in and of itself that's wrong with trying to find people that will respond to the Word of God. But is that the question that we really need to ask? Where will I be successful as compared to, Lord, where do you want me to go today? That's the question that we really need to answer. And if we go where God wants us to go and nothing happens, we've been successful because we've done what the Lord told us to do. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. As long as I get some say as to what the outcome will be. No, I don't think that'll do it. Number 3, success can only be accomplished when God's empowerment has been realized. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. I see two professional wrestlers headbutting each other. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Sometimes it is a scary thing to speak to others. Sometimes. Violent reactions. And that's the basis of my question. If you see someone perishing, what would you do? And then I understand when you say, well, if it puts your life in danger, such as they're holding on to an electric wire. If they're holding on to an electric wire, they're done. There's no hope there. But yeah, do you jump into freezing water to rescue somebody who's bobbing up and down? Because you get in there, you're going to freeze too. Do you put your life in danger? Do you speak to people that are so violently against the gospel that they'll put your life in danger? And the answer is, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? Will I come out of this thing alive? Nope. Will you still go where I want you to go? Polycarp. All he had to do to get out of being burned at the stake was offer a little incense to the emperor. He could have said, I really don't mean this, but hey, who's looking? And you know, just gotten away with it, and no one would have thought any much. And after all, after that, then he could have gone out and preached the gospel and said, you know, I really didn't mean this. Don't pay any attention to it. Here's the truth of my life. No. Remember what Hebrews says of Cain and Abel, specifically of Abel? Though he's dead, he's still speaking. His death spoke more than his life. And sometimes we just have to realize, okay, God's either going to sustain me in this, or he's not going to, but whatever the case is, as Paul would say in Philippians, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Success can only be accomplished when God's empowerment has been realized. Hey, look, Ezekiel, I'm going to give you the ability to stand against these guys. They're going to speak against you. They're going to be angry with you. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Don't fear them. Fourthly, success can only be accomplished when God's timing has been revealed. Verse 10, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. I want you to go now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Now. In the New Testament, Jesus tells the story of a father who said to the son, Son, go work in my field today. Don't send somebody else out to do the work. You go. Don't say, well, I've got other things to do. God has things planned in time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. 4,000 years roughly after creation was the perfect time. I don't know if you know the story of our son Andrew, but he and his wife Lauren met when they were students at Geneva College. They had similar interests. They were in the same class. They struck up a friendship, and they were really, really, really good friends. That's all there was to it. Just good friends. Graduation came. Andrew went to West Virginia. Lauren stayed in Beaver Falls. Now, they kept in touch with each other through emails and Facebook and that kind of thing. That's all that it was. And each of them dated different people that never worked out. Finally, one day, Andrew said, I think something has changed about both of us. And there might be something between us. That we're going to give it a shot. And they started dating, which they had never done before. They were just good friends. A few months later, they were dating regularly. He was making trips up to Pennsylvania. She was making trips down to West Virginia. There was a co-worker of Andrew's that Lauren befriended, a woman. They became best friends because they had similar interests. So she could go down and stay with her, and everything was just wonderful. Then one day I heard these words, Dad, we're in the negotiating phase. The issue was Will we have cats? And how many? Lauren is a cat person. Andrew was never a cat person. And they were negotiating if their relationship is going to go to the next step and they're going to get married, will they have cats? And they decided they could have two. They got engaged. He proposed New Year's Eve right at midnight. New Year's Day, we went to dinner with them and her parents. Met at a Eaton Park in Cranberry Township. And her parents said, right from the very start, we knew Andrew was the right one. What took him so long?
Ken?
Yeah. And I said, the who and what of God's will is just as important as the when of God's will. They weren't ready for each other when they were in college. But Andrew said, we've both changed. Now they're right for each other. There are times. Solomon says there's a time for this and a time for that. God has things according to a time. We need to be careful to accomplish things when God says it's time to do this and it's not time to do this. Next one. Success can only be accomplished when God's reputation has been established. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place, or from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. This vision of God's glory that we saw in chapter 1 appears to Ezekiel again, and it's that which transports him to these people. I don't know if these people saw it or not. Scripture is not clear. But nonetheless, he is moved by what the Lord is doing in his life. And he gets there, and he's in bitterness. He's not exactly sure what's going on. But the Lord's hand was strong upon him. The Lord was moving in his life. And consequently, it was changing him. And as he sat there, like Job and his counselors who for a week said nothing. Too bad it didn't last longer for them. He was there and he was just displaying God's glory among them. They were seeing that a prophet was there amongst them, as we looked at in Ezekiel chapter 2. And consequently, when they knew that this was a man of God, that this is a man stirred by God's word, that was responsive to God's word, that was caring about them as people, now they're ready to receive a message. May not necessarily yet be effective as to accomplishing all the results that Ezekiel would like, but nonetheless, it's accomplishing results. Number next, success can only be accomplished when man's responsibilities have been accepted. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Well, couldn't I be something else? Unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Here's a message. You're in danger. If you keep living the way you're living, the judgment of God is going to come upon you. That's the message that you need to deliver. There's the person that needs to hear it. Go tell them. You're the watchman. You're going to be the communicator. Yeah, but Lord, do I have to do that? Well, yeah, if you don't do that, he will die. The wages of sin is death. That's universal. But I'm going to hold you responsible for it. On the other hand, verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. You've done what I've called you to do. It wasn't successful in that it turned him around. But you've done what I've called you to do. I've called you to speak. That's what you need to do. And you will be guiltless. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Commentators, theologians debate who this righteous man is. It is a person who is saved that loses his salvation. Or is it a person who is acting righteously, but never having been converted? And I think that is the better interpretation of the verse. Here's a man who outwardly, like the Pharisees, did all the right things, but inwardly their heart was far from God. And he's saying, sooner or later, the issues of the heart are going to manifest themselves in their activities. And you need to warn them about this. Same consequence. Verse 21, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he has warned also thou hast delivered thy... Here you are. You've warned him. He's changed his ways. And I think implied in here is he's become a genuine believer. Success can only be accomplished when we accept our responsibilities to do whatever God tells us to do, and only what God tells us to do. Last one. Success can only be accomplished when God's witness has been refreshed, not the person who is the witness has been refreshed. Verse 23. Then I arose and went forth into the plain. Behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and thou shalt bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel, when you're done, go home. Spend some time with me. They'll probably come after you. I shouldn't say probably. They will come after you. They're going to make life difficult for you. And I'm going to see to it that you will say nothing to them. You will be a greater testimony saying nothing than you could be saying anything. They're going to look at you and they're going to... Here he is, he was preaching to us, now he's not saying a word. Hey, he can't say a word. How'd that happen? Do you ever think about Zacharias? He comes out of the temple and he can't speak. That must have been a fun 9 months. My wife maybe sometimes wishes that would happen with me. Here's this man, and he was a godly man. And all he could do was write things down, and must have been frustrating. I wonder how Ezekiel handled this time in the house when he couldn't speak. But Lord, here's the opportunity. All these people were gathered around my house. You won't let me speak? No, I want you to refresh yourself. I want you to trust me and grow by this. And yeah, they will be a rebellious people. But that's what my will is for you. And if you do that, you will be successful. There's an indication here. He that heareth, let him hear. Maybe a few here and a few there will trust Christ as Savior. But the probability is most of them won't. But don't give up. You've done what I wanted you to do. That's what counts. We need to be careful that we define success the way God defines success. Because we go out and we preach our hearts out. And that's the problem sometimes. We preach our hearts out, we don't preach God's heart. We don't wait for the empowerment of God. We try to do it on our own. We try to go where we think we'll be successful rather than allowing the Lord to guide us here and there. We do it when it's convenient for us. And when it doesn't work, well, I guess I'm not called to this. So we don't do it anymore. I think we miss out on the success that God wants. Let's pray. Father, may we measure success in ministry simply by being obedient to the will of God, going where you want us to go, saying what you want us to say, doing what you want us to do, and allowing you to be the one who determines the outcome. For everything that you do will ultimately bring glory to yourself. And that's why we're here. Strengthen our faith to accomplish these things. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week.